For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I didn't know Kenny Loggins did the trombone.
I know. Learn something new every day.
Man can do it all.
It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Second half kickoff here this Tuesday. Thanks so much for joining us. Quick forecast before we get to Chip Towers. Right now we are sitting at 48. Supposed to get up to 58 today. Maybe raining where you are right now, but it should be rolling out of here soon. And it's actually going to be sunny today. So enjoy the day. Same for tomorrow, sunny and 61. Thursday, sunny and 61.
I'm all about that in January, man. Keep this year round, actually. I guess we'd have to move to San Diego for that.
San Diego. You know what that means, San Diego?
I do not.
I think it means St. Diego. Oh, so we'll have to agree to disagree. All right, anyway.
Sounds like a hell of a guy.
Time to talk to our man Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC.com. Chip, Happy New Year, my man. How are you?
Hey, fantastic. Happy New Year to you guys.
Great to have you back on the Tuesday rotation, and certainly looking forward to that. And how was Nolens?
Nolens was absolutely terrific. I was disappointed not to hear any trombone shorty.
I know.
As my lead-in there, I did look for trombone shorty in New Orleans. I did not find him, but I did catch Kermit Ruffins and the Barbecue Swingers.
Oh, nice!
At Tipitina's, which is a kind of an all brass,
yeah.
New Orleans jazzy group. So that was incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah, when you come back to New Orleans, and it takes you a week to kind of regain your bearings, both financially and otherwise.
So you're telling me, Chip, let me see if I'm deciphering this right. Georgia fans that went on this trip, even though it wasn't a college football playoff game, they had a good time.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, breaking news.
I didn't see that many.
Right.
Certainly not early in the week. But, the ones that went there had a really good time.
Good.
And, I haven't talked to you guys since right before that game, and I thought that was one heck of an effort. I know it seems ancient history right now with what all's going on and has gone on, but that was a great. I thought it was really important going to the game. I told people I didn't beat the drum. In the publication, but I was like, Georgia's lost four in a row in the postseason. They need, I don't care what your attitude is about games versus, championship pursuits, but sooner or later you need to win, and they did. They did pretty decisively as well, and they did it with a lot of guys that are going to be back this season, and that was obviously very, very important. We're still waiting to find out about a few of those guys. But it was very encouraging on that front.
Yeah, as far as the Sugar Bowl goes, and I want to talk about some of those guys we may already know and don't know yet. I want your opinion on those. But as far as the Sugar Bowl, based on the atmosphere, the do they want to be there, do they not, the players sitting out, the suspensions, all the things that went into it, and then Kirby Smart puts together the team that he did and goes out and beats the number 7 team in the nation pretty handily, would you rank this up near the top of Kirby Smart's coaching achievement so far at his time at Georgia?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah, I would say it was one of his best coaching jobs. I mean, not only did you have that, but within the game, you also had the fake field goal, a fake kick that finally worked for Kirby Smart, and it was beautifully executed and perfectly timed, and Georgia scored on the next play, so there was that. And look, I think sometimes we forget because of his long experience at Alabama that Kirby is still a relatively new head coach. But what I think we've witnessed, is you know, he learns from his mistakes. I mean, he didn't come out and fall on the sword and totally admit it, but you can tell from the way he handled things this time that there were some mistakes made last year when they went to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl, and he didn't make those same mistakes this time. If you weren't staying with the team, then you weren't coming with the team to New Orleans. You know, DeAndre Swift's situation somewhat aside, but he did play in the game and was part of the, certainly part of the strategy for that day. But otherwise, you know, those guys didn't come, and there was a sort of a rebirth, attitude about the whole thing. They're going to go with the young guys and see how they do on that front, and it went well.
Was there just a divide? It was just a bad feeling? It's just amazing. And I agree with Logan. I think Georgia's bowl performance was, other than what LSU did to Oklahoma, I put Georgia's bowl performance as the second most impressive. Just things were just so completely different this year, to last year.
Yeah, well, I think they had a lot of proof. And look, nobody wants to say it. I'll say it. The Justin Fields element was divisive.
Yes.
Last year, that hurt Georgia's locker room. Nobody wants to talk about that, but that's the reality. That's the problem. It has nothing to do with race. Anytime you have two quarterbacks, there's only one quarterback position that are close in their abilities. Or seemingly close or relatively close, people have attitudes, people have beliefs, and they think this guy's better or that guy's better. And, the Fields thing was divisive on a lot of different levels. And, him being in New Orleans last year, I thought did Georgia absolutely no services with his name already in the transfer portal. I think that was a mistake. I wrote it, I said it, and I say it now. And then same thing with the DeAndre Baker shenanigans and stuff like that. This time there was a different attitude, there was a bunch of adjustments that Kirby made over the practices were shorter but more intense. They did a lot of things different than they did before, which just tells me, that's just a sign of intelligence. Things didn't work last time, let's do things different. Let's go down and figure out what didn't work and what did work, and certainly it went a lot better this time.
All right, Chip, people are listening in for one reason and one reason only this morning. They're ready for you to break the news. What is Fromm going to do?
Well, I actually already know that. I'm just sitting on it.
Hey, be careful. Not everybody picks up on sarcasm. So just.
I was gonna kid you and say you're interrupting my Twitter notifications right now. I don't have time to talk. I really don't know. This is I said this before the new year. This is not as easy as everybody thinks. I spent a good bit of time yesterday just kind of perusing, all the different mock drafts and then trying to read the commentary of the people that matter. You have the mock drafts, and then you have, Todd Machey and Mel Kiper, who still are far from perfect, far from perfect, but, probably are closer, certainly closer to the league and having an idea of what people are thinking. And generally, Jake is the third, fourth, or fifth quarterback. I would say he averages about the fourth of the quarterbacks on all these different lists. Well, fourth quarterback in the draft, pretty doggone good. It really is. Quarterbacks tend to go early. My understanding is a lot of these guys, as many as three, might go in the first round. So there's that side of it. There's the business decision side of it. And Jake Fromm is a finance major, after all, so he can do the math. But, he's also championship motivated. There's no question about that. Results oriented. I know Kirby. I don't know this for. Kirby's not telling me this or whatever. But I feel sure that he's selling them hard on the benefits of coming back. I love the way this team is developing, based on what I've seen for the 2020 season, I mean, this defense, guys, could be really something special. And, you know, but I don't think there's any playoff discussion for Georgia without Jake Fromm. I may be wrong about that. I mean, one of these, you know, I don't know. We don't even know where Dwan Mathis fits in the whole thing for next season. But I think, you know, with Jake Fromm, you're talking about a playoff team. I think without him, you're not. And so I think that's a discussion that's going on now. School started today. So whether that represents any kind of deadline, I don't know. I did have a conversation with Kirby, you know, just a hallway exchange after the Sugar Bowl, and it appears at this point that what he told me was accurate. He said he thought DeAndre Swift would be really quick on his decision, which he was, and he thought Jake would take a while. And he didn't know how that would figure into the start of the semester, but you got to think, you know, you don't get in there and buy all those books and get down in the nitty-gritty of your next semester in college if you're thinking of trying the pro thing, because there's so much to get ready for. So it's really – Georgia's playing it close to the vest. The Froms are playing it close to the vest. And, you know, I've tried to position myself to be ready to get the news, but nowadays the reality is most of these guys handle it themselves on their social media accounts. So let me refresh my Twitter page. Nothing right now.
All right, Chip, I heard everything you said, but you didn't answer the question. Is Drake Fromm coming back or is he not? No, I'm just kidding. We're all
the
in
thing is now, though, by the way, ChipTowersAJC.com, there's not quite as much dread because of basically free agency and the feeling, and I don't know what you've heard, Chip, but, you know, there are two or three quarterbacks that could potentially be, if Jake does leave, there's two or three quarterbacks that could step right in next year that aren't on campus right now with the grad transfer thing. So it has changed the dynamic a little bit of stressing out on a certain player coming back to your team or not. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know about the stress level, but absolutely. I mean, we have entered into the free agency era of college football. There's no question about that. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But, you know, if you look across the landscape of college football right now, especially on the elite Power 5 level, there's all kinds of transactions going down as we speak, you know, whether it be quarterback, running back, wide receiver is a big position that seems to facilitate a lot of movement. But you're right, yeah. And look, I know I keep my little list, so I'm sure that Kirby Smart and those guys have a very comprehensive list on people that they may be able to contact, you know, in that case.
Well, because of – go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm done. I mean, you're right. I mean, you can just go out there to the old waiver wire and grab a pretty good player. I mean, you know, Georgia was at the forefront of all of that. Remember the Grayson Lambert situation?
Sure.
And a lot of people, you know, kind of rolled their eyes at Grayson Lambert. You know, he was a pretty dadgum good fill-in for Georgia, and there he's still in the record book for completions in a game.
NCAA record holder, Grayson Lambert. Well, because of the beginning of the semester today, like you said, the grad transfer market, which is very fluid all the time, I'll be honest, Chip, I was a little bit surprised that I went to bed last night still not knowing Jake Fromm's decision. I'm hitting F5 refresh just like you because, I'll be honest, I expect this thing to be sooner rather than later so that Kirby can know what to do, because Kirby, if Fromm goes, Kirby's not the only coach out there that needs to persuade a grad transfer to come to Georgia.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing I've learned about Kirby, I mean, he is the ultimate orchestrator, mm-hmm. whether it comes in recruiting or you know, this is recruiting in a form really in and of itself. You know, I'm sure he's got his arms completely around this at this point. And that includes the timing of any sort of announcement. You know, the other question is how Georgia handles it. You know, I mean, they, you know, Jake Fromm, whether he stays or goes, is such a huge piece that they may decide to handle this thing like Alabama did on Tua. And so whatever decision he makes, then you're going to have to, you know, get a press conference together and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I agree with you, Logan. I mean, I think it needs to come pretty soon, you know, because of the semester starting and everything else that goes into the reaction of it, whether he stays or goes.
Now, he has till January 20th, so hypothetically, it could be another 13 days by rule of NCAA. I'm not suggesting it's going to be, but that's the rule out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's I mean, he's got time, and that's what Kirby said to me in New Orleans, is that, you know, Jake Fromm has done enough for this program. I think he deserves the opportunity to be deliberate in his decision. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's not going to be sitting there rushing him, you know. Come on, you got a decision. I got to move. He's going to give him time and space to figure this out.
Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC.com. A couple of players I wanted to ask you about before we let you go. The gross, horrible story concerning Clay Webb. What's going on there from what you understand? Did that affect he didn't play in the Sugar Bowl or whatever, but not going into the details of the story. Anyone that's listening, you can go find it yourself. I don't want to talk about that. But do you think this affects him moving forward?
Well, there's no question. I think there's going to be some effect. It's one of those situations that it's hard to get a lot of fluid discussion with Georgia about it. And whether it affected, you know, I don't think it affected, you know, his playing time. I think he played in two games this past season, and I think that was going to be the case no matter what. You know, the other side of it that we're not going to know for a good while is who knew what when and all that. But yeah, there's no question that there'll be an effect here as to whether I don't know. We'll just have to find out what.
Asking you to speculate. I sorry about that. I don't know. It's just it's a bad story, and you know, like we said, things going on with that. The other one, this might be more of a question for your colleague, Jeff Sintel, and the Zach Evans situation and how that might affect a little bit more recruiting. I know we forget this. We still got National Signing Day coming up. I know it's not what it used to be, but there is National Signing Day coming up. But the Zach Evans thing is also interesting.
Well, it is. That's you talk about intriguing, and this is you know, I'm glad that is more of a Jeff Sintel thing than the Chip Towers thing. Because I mean, there's it's not that I don't enjoy recruiting. I enjoy recruiting as much as the next guy. But you know, I'm a journalist, and I like dealing with facts.
Yeah.
And that's one of those situations. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to know what's what, right?
Yeah. You don't know.
From my vantage point, you know, it was as simple as, okay, you know, the guy wanted to early enroll and he can't. And maybe that's it, maybe that's not it. But, you know, I mean, I knew long before we got to, you know, his announcement that Zach Evans was a controversial figure for various and sundry reasons. But he's also a great back. You know, MVP of the All-Star game he played in, and you know, depending on who you talk to, maybe the best running back in the country. But you know, here's the thing. I mean, you know, Georgia has four running backs now. Now, some might say that's not enough. I don't think they would stick with that. I think if they, you know, if Zach Evans, who apparently has signed a letter of intent with Georgia, that's some complications right there in and of itself. If he does have a signed letter of intent, but Georgia would probably get another back from somewhere. And, you know, we forget, I mean, you know, there's the Zach Evans of the world and the Zamir Whites, but, you know, there's also Brian Herrians out there. I mean, think about, Brian Herrian. No, we hadn't even heard his name at this point during his recruiting cycle. And then he just shows up, you know, I can't remember if it was on National Signing Day or a day or two after, or a couple of weeks afterward, but you know, there's players out there deserving of a scholarship, whether it's Zach Evans or somebody else. I think Georgia will get another running back in this class. But, you know, I thought Zamir White answered some questions in the Sugar Bowl. And, you know, obviously James Cook, Kenny McIntosh and are coming back. And Kendall Milton's already on campus. So, I mean, I think you got a workable group as it is right there if you had to start the season today.
All right, Chip, great stuff. We do appreciate it. Hey, with that basketball win on Saturday, man, the buzz is not just buzz, it's a roar now for the Georgia basketball team, too. So a lot of excitement there as well.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with what Tom Crean has done right now. You know, I was Mr. Skeptic. And, we got a long way to go, let's be honest. But, you know, the winning, on the road against Memphis, I would have bet, that's why I don't gamble, I would have bet a lot of money against that happening. Georgia managed to do that, and guys, belief and confidence is a powerful, powerful thing. So they're going to come in there, with great doses of belief and confidence going against Kentucky. And I tell you what, that's going to be some atmosphere that we encounter tonight. So I'm going to have to take a nap this afternoon and make sure that I'm ready for it because I'm excited about covering that game.
All right, thanks so much, Chip. We'll catch you again next week.
All right.
All right. Chip Towers from the AJC.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.